thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Happy Mother's Day to the moms. And it is something like, okay, happy Mother's Day. We may have 30% of our audience that is mom. So we'll be talking to 30%. That's kind of weird. Once in a while I'm here. So just 30% of the audience doesn't look fun. So in a different perspective, like if I talk to the sons and daughters, I cover the whole room. So then everybody here has a mom, and will be easy for me to share because I do have a mom too. Yeah. First of all, this accent is not fake. I am Brazilian, born in Brazil, moved here 7 years ago when I got married with Abel. I got here on the 10th of March. We married on the 11th. And I know it sounds crazy, but God does things that we don't have an agenda. He does. So we met 8 months after that. I was here. We got married on a Saturday. On Monday, he went to work, and I had a house. And 3 months later, we had a baby. Not my baby, not born from me. It was Khaleesi, our granddaughter, that I took her for 10 days because her mom has back pains. She stayed 11 months. So I was able to carry a baby. She was only 7 months at that time. I carried her for her first fever, first tooth, steps, words. And that's how God does. Because when I got married, my dream, my plan, my idea of motherhood was gone. I'm not going to say, but I was not young anymore. I'm smart, so I'm not going to tell my age. But I was not in the normal kind of motherhood window. But how I was mistaken. And God, when he gives a dream, when he gives a vision, he gives a plan, put it down, write it down, and believe. Will come. Came to me. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop with the 7 months, 11 months of Khaleesi. He kept going forward. So before we continue, we have always our declaration and decree. And it's important to us to remember that this is scary from here outside, because if we keep just impacting ourselves, it's going to be a bumpy road inside of church. So go out there and be impacting. So let's repeat this all together. God create me for community. Every contact has the potential for positive impact. Let's go the clip. Then here we go. When the pastor told me we'll be willing to deliver the message on Mother's Day, I was honored. I would not say I was scared, but I have to be in a position that I have to understand that if God doesn't say or show, we should not go. And God already has shown me things and put things in my heart that I was able to say, yes, I can do that. So not all invitations are for everybody. And not all good places are good places for us. This is an amazing responsibility, opportunity. And I thank you for giving your time and being here. I know you're here for God. And I hope that what he gave to me can somehow get in your heart and help you as well. I have to make these huge letters, but I cannot still reading them. So I'm going to have to put my glasses. If I want to put letters that I could read, we have banners on the floor. It's going, man. Pastor Rife, Pastor Wesley, Alan and Joey in the past weeks, they've been talking about legacy. So they talk about how to build, how to leave, the types of legacy, and the character of the importance of the legacy that we continue. And then finally, last week, about the prayer, the communication with the one that started all. We are legacy from God. So he started, and we continue. So once we pray, we can turn our present actions into kingdom-like legacy. Why I say that? Because legacy, we all leaving something behind. And it is very hard to imagine that what we are doing or what we are saying are going to impact negatively. Like, it's going to leave something bad. So it's like when you go to the beach and people say, take pictures, don't leave your garbage. Yes, we all like that idea. But suddenly you walk away and you left something there that is not nice, that is not good. And the same can happen with our lives. More careful, or sometimes things happen. And today I feel in my heart, there are a lot of hurt from moms to sons and daughters. And this is something that I can talk from myself. I can talk from my position as a daughter. I have a wonderful mom, and but she hurt me sometimes. She did. And it's not that was her intention to see me sad or bad. I have to look on her lenses, her ability and limitation. We most of the times, it's so easy for us to look from our position without understanding what they're going through. So today, grace, it's the word for everybody when you think about your mom. Grace, it's the place where we have to look into it. So to share this message, I would like to first remind everybody what is legacy we are talking about. It's a lasting impact of a particular past event or actions of a person's life on another. So that one means legacy. That's what we're talking about for the past 5 weeks. So it will be lasting. It will be take a while there. It is an event or an action, and it's from one person to another. So involve people, involve actions, words, feelings will get hurt, get involved, messy, and is in the past. So we are building past today. In about 2 hours, this is my past moment. So everything, all the time, it's a second later, will be past. And we have to have intention of our actions and our words. And I know, hello, I know, because I'm leaving this now with this little 4 cuties. Titus has been 9 in 4 days. He cannot stop reminding me that. Joshua is my treasure for the past 2 years he lived with us. His mom passed in 22, and he came to our household and became a real home. We need that kid. We need so badly. Khaleesi is the one I told you that I carry when she was 7, and now 7 months, and now she's 7 years old. And the little cutie pie, it's Anastasia. She's 21 months old. So these 4 beautiful, amazing, potential, great people live in my house. And when we moved from Daphne to Loxley, I looked for a house with a big garage. A bell got to the door and goes straight down the back of the corridor. I say, you're not going to see the house? He's like, why? I need to see the garage. So he went straight down. I went inside the house, and he come back and say, that's the house. I say, you didn't see the house. He's like, I saw the garage. So we got Loxley as our new address. And I thought we were going to a smaller house, and it is a little bit smaller in when it comes to square footage, but has 5 rooms. And I say, Lord, what are they going to do with 5 rooms? It's just the 2 of us. There we go again, me getting mistaken. So now I have these four beautiful kids, and they all enjoy their privacy, and I enjoy even more my privacy, because now we have the rooms for them to stay. And again, it's God's plan, not mine, not my husband's, and I can say he's outside. You know, he's right there. I can say right now, not his plan at all. Because I'm telling you, when you tell a grandpa that you're bringing kids and they're going to leave and they're going to be messy, touching walls and screaming around the house, grandpa is not happy much on that idea. But God is working a lot in Abel's heart and mine. And we rejoice every single moment, even when it's stressful. We rejoice so much. So this is my little ones. And none of them were born from me. Or like they say, Grandma, I wish I came from your stomach. I'm like, boy, not really. But kids have this idea that we keep babies in the stomach. So I said, no, it's the belly, not the stomach. But none of them born from me. And none of them have my DNA. None of them have any trace. So if you're going to do that ancestry little thing, maybe somewhere in the back there, because we all come from God, but in the generations past, they're not my kids. They didn't come from me. They didn't come from my bloodline. But what can I tell? They are inside my heart. And every beat now goes with them. So, and what I learn is in the legacy that we talk about it, I am the person impacting their lives right now, today. For how long? Today, Sunday, I am the person. I cannot live in the situation that maybe just for a month, maybe just for 10 days, maybe for the next, just no. Today is my chance to impact positively their lives. Today, I am the person. So talking about the person that can discipline, provide, protect, teach, care, and create the legacy in their lives. If we go to any group of people, and if you can do this at home, it's nice. It's a good exercise. And ask, like, who is the person in the Bible that you really see as a legacy creator or something that you will admire? We have the top ones. You will say, okay, first of all, Jesus, of course, no doubt on that. But then will come King David, my husband's favorite. Probably Joseph with his, you know, merciful and all that thing that he did. Sometimes people will maybe see some of the four friends of Jesus, apostles, and then Paul, of course, because he wrote so many letters and gave us so much information. So everybody has that. But as today we're talking about mom, I said, okay, let's go talk about the moms in the Bible. And this is a different perspective from, again, it's something that I put together for quite a while, and I'm learning with this woman. And I will suggest you go and try to find out details of one mom in the Bible, because they are unique. They are different in so many. And then you will find they are not perfect, even though they have favor of God. They've been pointed by God. They've been chosen for a great deal of things, but they were not perfect, you know. And ones more than others, we have some information. But if you dig, it's amazing. It's so much beautiful things you can learn from it. So to start with, the first of mother of the Bible, and that will be Eve. So the Bible says then, he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain in your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. We always get the part of the pregnancy thing. It's painful. And if I'm going to hear the, really, if I go to details how a woman gave birth, we will have fainting men all over. because it's painful, it's hard, it's messy, and it's everything. But the second part is intrigues me. Because then God says, you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And this was after the fall. So before the fall, there was no control. Either one could control nothing. Both serve God, both is God, but they're created by God. That came after. So when your wife tried to control you, that's from God. You say, thank you, God. She's a controlling woman. Thank to you. You say right there. And we have that desire. Yes, we do. God said to us, we will have that desire to control our husbands. There's nothing wrong there. Because it's God's thing to us. Sorry to tell you. But for me, this is like, I'm not wrong trying to do these things. It's right there. So if you have pain to bird, I have also pain trying to control him. but this is what we all get, the legacy from Eve to us, to all humankind. She is the motherhood for all mankind. And the name Eve means mother of all, life bearing. So, then we have a second one, and I didn't put the name, but then Pastor put the name on the slide, because Brazilian says a different way. The names are the hardest for us when you learn, when a kid, the names in the Bible, and then comes here and say, what is that? How come? Because it's all different. So this other one is Jochebed. Jochebede in Portuguese. She's the mother of Moses. This woman is protective as any other woman could imagine. Imagine there is a decree. Baby born, midwives, take it, kill it. She didn't say, mm-mm, not mine. She take care of the baby for sure he's not going to die. She have a strategy. Moms are full of strategy. We come with this little manual that we don't know where you get the pocket of. And I say we because now I am. And I have to have strategies to eat the broccoli, to go to bed on time, to brush your teeth, to do all that we need them to do. So moms have a lot of strategy. And she was blessed with wisdom. Because not only she was saving the life of her baby, she got paid to feed him. Hello? Can you imagine? She got paid to take care of her own baby when everybody else was running with their lives, with their babies, because they would die. So that is wisdom. That's from God. But she never knew from no place you can say that she heard an angel or she saw in a vision that her son will be what he became. She just was a mom protecting her baby. And that's the character of many moms. I don't see, I don't know what you're going to be, but I will make every effort to be sure you're safe and you're protected and you're nourished and you can grow. That's what she did. So her son became the one that gave freedom to slavery from the slavery and the continuations got people. Can you imagine if she had a glimpse of that information when she was pregnant? She didn't have it. And I doubted she would do anything different because she did everything she could. Putting a baby in a basket in a river with crocodiles on it, that's brave. The second mom, it is she doesn't have a name, at least it's not mentioned in the Bible. But she gave instructions from God before even she got pregnant. And that's, for me, scary, because she was not expecting, but God already come and say, hey, it's coming. But not only your son will do something and it will be different, you're going to have to start doing something right now. Because Samson's mom have to be free of impure or food, probably McDonald's and things like that. Eat healthy. and no wine, no strong drinks. So she has to sacrifice for something that she doesn't know. So it's different when you are walking and then, okay, I will have a baby, I will do this diet, and I go to the doctor. This woman have no idea what's coming her way, and the sacrifice is already asked to be done. So Samson's mom, and if you guys, yesterday I was reading with my husband a little passage, like I said, I want you to see this. She got an angel to come to her and tell. So the angel comes to her and say, you're going to have a boy, and he will have to be treated and nursed this way. She go and tell the husband. What the husband does? He asks God to send the angel again. I'm not kidding. He says, send the angel again to give him instruction what to do. Why he didn't believe his wife? Why he's doubting her? What is this man doing? Well, a lot of what the man does, right? Let me check myself on that situation, because you may be putting too much or too little or something. So God hears his call and send the angel again. And the angel say, I told your wife. I love the angel because he's like, seriously, I should be doing something else. But you asked me to come back. Here I am. So he gave the same instructions. And then he tried to negotiate and all that. It's a beautiful story to read there. But it shows a lot about moms and dads, you know. And then comes this baby. And everybody loved the story, especially young kids. My kids there, they have fun hearing about Samson, how strong he was and how he was growing, all that. But even they knowing who he was, they could not prevent his choices. And this is for everybody in the room. We know the potential. The potential is there. The care, the love, the favor of God in every single child. None of our children, it's curse to be a failure. But their choices maybe take them places. And that's what happened to Samson. He chose to get involved with different people. And he chose. And the mom and dad told him, can you not find somebody in the midst of our people? Yeah. He was so hard-headed. And then, if you continue reading the story, he didn't get married to the girl. He actually gave her to the best man in the party. And then he goes look for another trouble girl. And then another one who end up then, we all know the story, cutting his hair and all that. And then Samson, who was appointed before birth, was care for his mom and dad to not have any kind of negative impact from everything they could control. When he was the decision maker person, he decided for bad influence, for bad things. So don't carry any burden if you have children making bad decisions. They can go with bad company, like Samson did. They can choose to do drugs, alcohol, walk in a different direction from what God has pointed them. It is not your burden to carry. So what we learn from Samson's mom, obedience to God comes before your children. She obeyed God. She did what God said to do. And I'm not going to point fingers here, dads, but if you read in the Bible and the Word, he asked for the girl, and after a while, the father and the son are in the party in the house of the girl. Mom is not there. Oh, because it was this, how they say, bachelor party? No girls involved? There was girls there, but not mom. Mom was not there. She was not agreeing with that. Then we come now for this old, never had a child, I'm not talking about me, that received a promise to be a mom of nations. And that's kind of hard when you're about 9 years old, that, hey, guess what? From you, nations will birth. And that's Sarah. But she had experienced something before that should not be that hard to believe, because her name was changed and things are happening in her life and her husband's life. So when you have a life that everything seems like God is telling us the truth, things are really happening, why suddenly one promise and one declaration become, okay, God, that I will take care. That's what Sarah did. So she's like, I understand you want to make me mother of all nations, but I cannot bear a child. So I believe in everything you can do, but this one I have to do myself. So she goes and get her maid, slave, person, and give to the husband to have a baby. And she will carry that kid, and she will have that kid as her daughter, her son, in the house. But again, it was her decision to do it. She grabbed the promise, but she didn't wait on God. How many times we hear a promise from God and we start working and we start getting hurt and hurting people because he told me so, but he didn't say go. Hold the promise and pray about it and wait for God's move. Because the promise that God gave to Sarah and Abraham have to split. Because they have two sons. They have the one for the promise, and they have the one from their own doing. And this is what amazed me more. The character of God, the promise of God never change. What he promises, I will bless your son, and he will have nations, and he will have many, and he will be prosper, and he will. But suddenly he is they. The he became two. And if you go and read the Bible, you will be amazed that did God never be upset with them and curse them. He went after that child with the mother and say, I will bless him. So the legacy we learn from Sarah here is this amazing passage on the Bible that God's character is unchanging and his promises are his promise. He will fulfill. Even if he had to split, but both will be full. Look what he says here. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and greatly increase in his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. He's not talking about Isaac. The promise was for Isaac, from Abraham be the father of many nations through his son Isaac. But look what God did for the son of Sarah and Abraham. He blessed them the same way. He blessed him. And that's how God is. Our kids are not going to pay for our mistakes. We cannot curse them that way. If God has a promise for your child that is belongs to him, first of all, he will fulfill. He will fulfill. Even if it doesn't look like. Because if you go back to that passage, that poor mom have to go away and then have to come back and submit herself because she was not being treated well. Sarah was not an easy mom. But she came back and submit. And her son, even though have no same mother, was the same father, God bless as well. Then comes Rebecca. Rebecca. What can you say about Rebecca? That's the name of my latest daughter-in-law, my husband's oldest is Rebecca. Rebecca is the mother of Khaleesi, Titus, and Anastasia. And this Rebecca I'm talking here now is the mother that instructed the son to deceive the father. Can a mom do that? Yes. She did. So when a mom say, don't tell your father. Don't tell your brothers and sisters. Don't tell your teacher. Oh, no, that's okay. You can do that. You can go against that. Yeah, you do that. That's fine. It's not bad. That's what Rebecca did. She had a favorite. It's very clear. And what she did was like, we're going to make this work now, our way. The amazing part of this, and please go back into the Bible and read there. Jacob said, if this is going to come back to me and I will be cursed. He knew he was getting trouble. But he did anyway. He obeyed his mom. So sometimes moms, we have to see what we are pushing our kids to do. Because they will be cursed. Jacob had not an easy life after that. He has to run. He has to work 14 years for the guy, to get the woman he wants. Things sometimes go very bad because decisions are made. And then guess what? It was not his decision. It was his mom. And I'm even going to talk about poor Salome. Salome, the dancer, that she could be the richest woman, but her mom decided to ask for a head in a tray. That was a mom decision. Mom, he want to give me half of what he has. He's the emperor. He has a lot. I have a house, a beach condo, a boat. Nah. Just tell him to go and revenge me. That's decisions made. So God is just merciful because Rebecca did a bad decision. Jacob went with that decision, but he became Israel. God is merciful. So once again, if you ever ask, or if you did something that you regret, God is merciful. He can change the path of the children and the child. And sometimes we want so badly that path change in our eyes. But took a while, took a long time to that path to change. Then comes Rachel. For her is integrity and character. Why? I see Rachel as this mom that they have 12 brothers, but two of them are the same mom, Joseph and Benjamin. When he went to that house of the Pharaoh there, the Potiphar, something in him says that you may pay with your life if you don't accept what this lady is telling you to do. And judging for the father, I believe that was a mom that said to him, don't mess up with somebody else's wife, my son. Doesn't matter what wrong can come from, don't do it. Because he didn't. And because of he not accepting to put his integrity and character on the line, he went to prison and spent good time of his life there in prison. So for Rachel, God rewards integrity and character. Her teaching to her son gave her son the ability, even in prison, be recognized, and after that, become the prince of Egypt, the guy who actually was able to save not only the nation of Egypt, but the other nations from starvation. And these are the ones that I was digging Old Testament. And now comes the famous. Mary. Did you know? Yeah, she knew. Sorry to tell, she knew. Mary was blessed, was chosen, and was favored. Her influence in Jesus' life, it's enormous. Because Jesus was a boy. And he probably had to learn how to eat and how to walk and how to talk. And who does that is the mom teaches. So I can imagine this little boy going around, scraping things here and there. Don't believe Jesus was sitting from the beginning, just saying, come, I will bless all the animals and I will part the glass of water and see what I do. No, he was a child. He was stubborn. He will not sleep well at night. He will have a tooth that will hurt. He was a human being. So that's God gave a human mom. Now, Being God, he never acted as one. And we know when he started being and showing and declaring. But before that, his mission was just growing as a regular Jewish child with a family and caring for him. His mother, he never said, but she knew from the beginning. An angel have told her who he will be. Now imagine that. Imagine the weight, the responsibility, and I would definitely will not be able to sleep. Because inside my household, there is the one. Imagine that woman, how much she has to breathe and calm down. Oh, it's going to be a spanky. Oh, no, he's the one. And, oh, that was. Because he's a child. She carried for him, knowing who he was, but she did a mother love and care for a child. She didn't make him a god. She made her son. He was God, but for her, was my son. And this is what I think it's just amazing to see the two situations here. In Luke 2, 48 and 52, his parents saw him. They were astonished. So this is when they go back and then he's 12 years old and he's left behind after 3 days of journey. So these people been walking from here all the way past Pensacola and they realize, oops, where's the kid? Let's go back and get him. So they got there and the child, why have it been done this to us? This mother asked. Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why are you looking for me? He asked. Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? But they didn't understand the statement that he made for them. What is Jesus doing here? I will tell you, he's being a teenager. He's 12 years old, and he decides he's ready to do it. Every teenager have the little thing of, now I can, it's my time, I'm going to do it. And comes his mom and dad and say, what in the world? You should be with us. He's God, he knows, but he's 12 years old. And if you have been, that most of you have already, all of us, when you were 12, 13, that age, it's hard to get moms and dads. Oh, I don't know. I told you. Yeah. Can you imagine Jesus coming to that 12 years old? We sometimes imagine Jesus, 30-year-old, talking here. He's a 12-year-old kid. Don't you know I have to be here? And she's like, okay, we don't understand what you're saying now because you're only 12. And then guess what he does? Look at this. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Yeah. What? Yeah. He went back and obeyed mom and dad. Yeah. But his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew because he went back and obeyed. Yeah. Teenagers need to obey mom and dad. Because if you don't obey mom and dad, you will not grow in stature, in favor, and wisdom. Yeah. This world is cruel. They will eat you. They will kill you. They will destroy you. So this little Jesus, 12 years old, knew who he was and what's about already. As every 12, 13 years old should know, because they already in that age, their characters are being already put in place and they already have hearts and feelings and desires, but he went back and obeyed mom and dad. And I wish you could say, they obey mom and dad, kids. Can you hear me? But then comes the second part now, and it's from the wedding. That's another beautiful passage from the Bible. The famous wedding. First of all, Jesus was invited to the wedding. And what is amazing, if you read the Bible, like go back and see, he already had disciples, but he never had done nothing as a miracle. But people already follow him. Do you see people following people that doesn't do miracles? I see it all the time. Because they sing, because they dance, because they talk nicely. Jesus already has disciples. Our kids are following somebody, somewhere. And they're not the way makers, miracle workers. We have to be careful what they are walking with and who they're going with. Because they're following sometimes bad or not that great people. Not in this case. So Mary was there already, and looks like she was kind of like a business entrepreneur here, like maybe an event character or something, because she knew what's going on in the party. Most of the people, when go to a party as an invitation, you know one side of the party. She knew the other side. So she was involved somehow on the preparation or in the deliver of that party. And I love this about this culture. It's not one four-hour party event. This go by days and days and days. Hello, can we go back to that, right? So it's a happy moment for a week, not for a moment. And on the third day, so this is what it is. On the third day of the wedding that took place in Cana in Galilee, Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also there. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, now please pay attention, they have no more wine. Did she say something to him to do? Did she give an order? Did she say, hey, do something here. Come on, fix it this. No. A mother has a kind of communication that in that little words there, Jesus understood what she was saying because his reply says, woman, the woman is my, woman is my intonation, okay? Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. Wait a minute, 12 years old. Excuse me. 12 years. Remember, you're saying I'm about fathers, ha, ha, ha. And now mom says, I have a problem, help me here. He says, not my time. Now, what did mom do? It was just amazing. She didn't get upset with Jesus. She didn't put in time out. She didn't turn the back and say, well, I'm tired of this. I'm not doing any. She just say, do what he says. She knew he will do it. She knew he will do it. And that's faith. That's faith. I know it's not your time. I know this is not something you plan. Come on. Wine? Really, Jesus? Wine? But that's what we need now. And he did. He obeyed because we know what happened. That was his first miracle. And there you go. Now he cannot hide anymore. So that was for me learning about Mary that we have to be careful what we ask our children to. Some things these kids are hearing out there is not their time. It's not their time to wear lipstick. It's not their time to paint their nails. It's not their time to show their booty booty. Mm-mm-mm-mm. No. They're predators. They're eyes that will hurt your baby. Because you want to show how beautiful they are. So watch and protect and love and care and hide as a treasure. Hide your baby as a treasure. Because when time comes, they will have a beautiful outcome in the right time. Our children will follow somebody. Good or bad? Good or bad, everyone leaves a legacy. So everyone can be the one that your child is following. And we are the ones that have to be aware as church, as sons and daughters for the next generation. Why? I have an orphan in my house. Not anymore, but he is. He lost his mom. I was amazed that the school gave us gifts for this weekend, and all the three of them came with little cards and little slides and little plants. But then I noticed that says, "Happy Mother's Day, Grandma," printed on it. We have a lot of grandmas being moms. Because there is a day for grandma. But why Happy Mother's Day, Grandma? Because we are more and more seeing kids being cared and inside moms, grandmas, grand-grandmothers than ever before. So it's not something that is one case in a million. It's a million cases everywhere. So kids now call Mimi, Mommy, Gigi, and they are their moms. The grandma that should be the one sitting on the porch waiting with all these toys and candy and all is the one washing, cleaning, teaching, running, and doing all the work. Because that's how it became. This culture is what it's going for. So we have to be the moms and dads. And as church, we have to give support and love and care for the moms, grandmas, grand-grandmas, aunties, teachers in our community. When your children learn about the kingdom of God, will determine the life they will lead. They live here in earth. Everything we do will impact legacy. There is a song from Casting Crowns say, "I don't want to leave a legacy. Oh, it's Jesus." I will call that pastor because he's a pastor of a church, and I'll call and say, "You are leaving a legacy. It's not your choice. I don't want to, it's not what you want. You will leave a legacy. Somebody somewhere is watching you, following you, taking care of all your day business. And good or bad, somebody will follow you." And get back there. So what should we expect now, raising kids in this time? Because when Jesus was the kid, there was expectation. There was a completely different set of rules and everything. When I was growing up in Brazil, rules and expectations were completely different than now. And I'm not that old. And if you go back 10 days, 10 years, just go back. Why the rules are changing? Look at the law changing so fast. We never had to have so much laws being changed because the world is changing too fast. It's faster than growing a child. So if you say something today, tomorrow you may have to come back and say, "Hey, the rule changed. Now you can't." "Oh no, now you can, but you shouldn't." Because now there is this point of life that they can do whatever they want, and they're getting laws they're protecting even to tell you, mom and dad. That's right. So if the kid doesn't know what is right and wrong, don't expect the word out there. Tell them. That's now, if you tell them this is not okay, when they get out there and heard you can do it, they say, "But I'm not going to do it. Right. I'm not going to do it." Because that's our legacy. It's changing their lives before the approach of the problem. Yes. After they are hurt, after they did the mistake, God is merciful, yes. He's grateful, yes. But I'm dealing with kids with trauma. Yeah. It is not easy to look at their eyes and see the hurt. "Oh, but that cannot be that much. It was only 4 years. Take one event. Take one word and let they carry that for life. Our destiny is our legacy. We are here to leave a legacy. There is no other way. And our legacy is our destiny. We have a cookie in Brazil that says, why is so fresh? Because it sells a lot, or sells a lot because it's fresh? That's what it is. Destiny is legacy. Legacy is your destiny. Cannot run from there. So if you think like, okay, I'm mid-age, I don't have children, I don't have a legacy to build or to give or to nothing. Yes, you do. You are part of a community. You drive a car on the streets. You live in a house that have neighbors. You do have a legacy, and it's being built. Aware or not, it is. You know, there are a lot of kids here, they hear a lot of their learning from the neighbors. Because when they get home, mom and dad are working, so the neighbor opened the door. You can wait here. Come play in the yard. And some kids are getting their first interaction and contact with drugs, alcohol, on their neighbor's house. Sleepovers? I don't know. Before, yeah, you know the people. You go with them to parties, you go with them in the birthday parties, you know the family, you know the environment. Now open your mind to these people. You don't know people anymore. These kids out there are being exposed to hardship. But they are friends. Do you know them? Just because you have a picture on Facebook, they're not your friends. Know their life. Know how they talk inside the house. Now know everything before you let your baby go to cross the street, to their house, to the party, to whatever they decide to go. And grandpa and grandma, be mean. Mm-mm, not going. Stay. Mm-mm, not whopping that. Nope. I told the teachers of my grandsons, I said, the grandkids, if you guys want them to do anything on the computer at home, send me a note. They do not open the computer at home. Because I want to sit and watch with them what they're doing. I don't want that thing, oh, it's homework, and suddenly homework become a meeting, somebody in the park. Mm-mm. That's how hard it is, but it is how it has to be. So it is not easy to watch our kids anymore. I remember my mom say, sit. We don't move until she say, stand up. Now, my Lord, get out. They are already in the ceiling. They're up everywhere. It's not easy. But we have to become the moms, dads, grandpa, grandpa, and community. Community that bring back to the basic. We watch over you, and I'm doing this to protect you. And when they understand that, guess what? They will obey. They will sit, they will be quiet. Oh, they will do the little dance, and they will, and there's this, my is one of them have like a 68, 67 Mustang motor on it. And I have to keep it waiting for until the motor goes cool again. But they do. I think it's the Harley Davidson, maybe. But they will obey once they know that you're doing something for their own interest and love. It's not because I'm being mean to you. I just don't want you to get hurt. So now what? And this is the part that we all together, as family, as church, as community, have to ask every day. And now what? What do we do to avoid our legacy to be a broken one? Because we'll be. Rebecca, Eve, all Samson, all of them left a legacy. Some of them not that great. There was problems on the way. But how do we do that now? Invest in Destiny Kid Academy. Guys, you don't know how my heart for daycares. Daycares are the place where your kid you spend most of the time because you're trying to build them a future. Because if you stay home, you stay with your kids. But our culture says mom and dad have to work to build a better future for you. Then what do? We put them in a corner in this room with 20-something kids, and we go work hard to make money, to give you gifts and give you good food, and somebody's damaging their character. So I'm going to have to work harder to get therapists and people involved in the future. So has to be a balance where if I'm building something for you better now, I need to be sure my child is being cared as I want them to be. Or even better than I know, get professional people that have studied, open books, spend time learning what is good for a child to do and how to learn. Because when you're teaching a child, I told Khaleesi once, you put the big number in your mind, put the 7 here to count to 10, then put 3 and count. 7, 8, 9, 10. This is her understanding. And I'm like, girl, she hit so hard. I say, what are you doing? 7 is a lot. I say, no, I'm trying to give you some example. Maybe it's not the, but the way I did, I put 7 in your head and I did the clap. She thought, I have to hit my head, almost fall down. I say, girl, but that's their way. And I'm trying to teach them. So they care. And just some numbers for you guys to understand. A normal school age student spends about 34 hours of the week with teachers and educators. It's pretty much what you spend if you have a week work, 40 hours. It's what they spend with teachers and educators. Daycare average is about 45 to 60 hours in a week. So they will sleep 70 to 80 hours. They will spend in daycare 45 to 60. How much time that's left for us in the week? And then we are building a legacy? Then we're going to blame when they do something out there? How much time I really put into it? Now, they are going to be leaders. They will. We cannot carry that torch forever. They are the ones coming after us. So they will be the leaders. They will be the authorities. They will be the policemen, the dentist, the trash compactor man in that machine I love to watch is doing the I think if I could do that, I think it's awesome. But this is the thing. They will be operating machines. They will be operating people. They will be talking and they will be singing. They will be dancing. They will be the ones coming after us when we get tired. So what they will be carrying on? Where they're going to be leading next? This generation coming after us are the ones that will probably see Jesus coming back. It's getting so close. The earth is shaking back and down and everywhere. The signs are so clear in the skies, anywhere, and they're just babies now. But they may be the ones. Yeah. And how are we going to do this? First of all, we have to pray for teachers. The schools are being bombarded with ideological trash. That's what it is. They are destroying the education system is being going down and down and down because people that should not be at all putting their voices out there are being heard. So we need to pray for our teachers to stand up and say, no, I have hearts here to protect. I have minds here. You want to teach that? You open your own thing down there and see if somebody comes. You don't bring garbage inside my classroom. And it's hard because some of them can lose their job. It's not an easy task to say no to these places. So we have to pray for them. We have to invest time and resources. Find out how can you help your educational system around you. Find out about the daycares around you. Find out about the parks. What kind of books they are putting out there in these little boxes? Come and grab. Hey, what about if you buy books about Jesus and put in that boxes for free? And everybody carrying nice, good literature home. Because I'm telling you, devil already put the boxes somewhere. So we just need to move and do the same to catch up. Because they already been partaking. Things are there. And pray for expansion and favor in our community. So we are not about 60, 80 people. When Joshua come home, he talk about 17 friends in his classroom. 17 friends. If I can give something to Josh, to him to carry, it's 17 other kids that can listen.
Come on.
His teacher told me once, it break my heart that he wants to pray over food. And there is a rule of 5 minutes silence when they get to the cafeteria. So he has to be quiet and he want to teach his friends how to pray. But you know what she said? I let him pray.
Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord.
So we have to do our part, not imagine that is only one. Because they will cascade. They will cascade. They will be like a river flowing. And they will take over our nation. From Alabama, yeah. From Daphne, from Loxley. They will go. And they will go to the Word. We need to do our part and carry for them. Let them be kids. But let them be kids with a destiny. That points to the kingdom of God. Wow. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Sons and Daughters Day. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
Come on.